Good morning and welcome to Meet a Pioneer. At the radio microphone with me this morning, this October 19th, 1984, are Lila Mae King and Lena Phipps, sisters and been in Fairbanks since the 1920s. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
How was your walk over to the studio this morning?
Oh, it was nice and snowy.
No trouble.
No trouble whatsoever.
We'll begin our interview in just a moment, but first, we're listening to Variations on the Alaska Flag Song, Paul Rosenthal. And some music to get us in the mood. This is Benny Goodman and his orchestra, the Flatfoot Flugie. Benny Goodman for the music this morning. It's now time to meet our pioneers. Lila Mae King, who is 84 years old, and her sister Lena Phipps, who is 86 years old. And good morning, ladies. This is really fun. You're the first women I've interviewed on this program. First, Lila, I'm going to let you start off. I'd like to know, what were the circumstances of you coming to Fairbanks way back in July of 1924?
Well, I had a friend up here that was stationed up here at Grenland, Alaska. We which is known as Big D for a while, and then Big Delta. And so the station, we stayed there until the station was closed up. He went to school with him and his sister in Louisville, Kentucky. And so I was kind of curious to see what Alaska like. I always wanted to travel, so I thought that would be a good way to do it.
Well, you know, it's going to be easy throughout this entire interview to figure out how old you were at all these times, because whatever the year was, that's how old you were.
Yeah.
Well, in 1924, you were 24 years old.
Yeah.
Now, were you by yourself when you came up here?
No, I had my son with me, Robert Loren Johnson.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it was Griswold, but he took, when I married Mr. Johnson at the time, he took his name, but
uh-huh.
Otherwise.
Well, how old was your little boy at the time?
He was about 5 years old.
So you were 24, you had a five-year-old, uh-huh. You came all the way from where at the time?
I came all the way at that time. I was in Boston, Massachusetts, but when I come to Seattle, I stayed there a couple of years to get up courage and money enough to come on up.
That doesn't surprise me, the courage. I would certainly imagine there must have been some fear. Anything happen on that trip that was kind of scary?
Or? Well, no, there wasn't anything. Everybody was quite interested in us on the boat and everything, coming all this distance to see a friend that I went to school with. And so we were quite, at least we had been until he came up here. Maybe we got a little bit distant and just writing letters and things, but I was happy to be here anyway.
Well, what's the name of the man that you came to visit then?
Ralph Mitchell.
Okay, and how long had it been since you'd seen him when you arrived?
Well, since we stopped school, and I left Louisville, and so I went to visit my father, but I decided I'd want to come back up here and see what it looked like. He was writing all wonderful descriptions, and he's just crazy about Alaska.
Huh. Well, you went from Seattle, and you took a boat to Seward?
Yes. We came on the boat to Seward, and then we got on the train. The train was running then, and so we came to Fairbanks. And he was here to meet us.
And you got here in the summer then, July
yes,
of 24?
Yes, in the summer of July, yeah.
See, what did you think? Was it like all those letters he
wrote? Oh, yeah, it was really nice. And so then it took a little time to get permission to get married when we decided to. So since he was in the service, he had to get permission. So it was 2 months later that we got married in Fairbanks
by
the commissioner.
And who was that? Do you remember?
Commissioner Groudon.
Commissioner Groudon?
Huh. Groudon. They used to be a family of them, lived here and everything.
Huh.
And I think some of the children might live here yet. Well, grandchildren or something.
Okay. Now, what did your husband do then? What was his job at Grundler?
He was a radio operator, and he had charge of all the things, messages and things like that. And that's the way you did get your messages, by calling on the transmitter and things like that.
Wireless?
Uh-huh,
kind
yeah,
of
wireless. Yeah.
Kind of like CB? Or
yeah, something like CB.
Uh-huh.
Only he could reach any place around because the government had stations all over
uh-huh.
Alaska.
Well, after you got married then what happened?
Well, we went back to Grundler and stayed there, and then they closed the station up, and he was transferred to Seward, so we went down to Seward.
I see. And how long were you there then?
Oh, we were there about 2.5 years,
uh-huh.
And then we decided that we would get divorced, so we did.
Uh-huh.
And so he stayed there, and so I came back up to Fairbanks. And
by yourself,
yeah,
then, with your
yeah,
son?
Yeah, I come up and... Huh? What'd you say? And I came back up to Fairbanks and stayed here for a while. And then I, later on, about a year and a half, I got married to Walter Johnson.
I see.
And he was a miner and a prospector on the Good Pasture River.
Well, let me ask you, this was, okay, still in the 20s, and you were single. What was it like back then as far as, were there a lot of men? Were you pretty popular?
Well, there was a lot of men, but some of them are quite older than I was at the time. And, of course, my husband was 9 years older than I was, but he was really a nice person. And so we got married then and went up into the good pasture and stayed there till I raised my son there, and my sister and her daughter came up to be with me. And my son and my husband trapped and everything in the wintertime, and in the summertime they prospected. And,
Well, about this time in the story, then you mentioned your sister, so why don't we introduce and say good morning to Lena. And Lena, tell me now, since you come into the story at about this time, it actually was 26.
26, I just got up to Alaska.
Well, how did you happen to come up here? I know you had a sister here, but what were the circumstances?
Wanted me to come up, and I was working in Jacksonville, Florida.
What were you doing there?
I was a waitress at known as Highland Jinks restaurant. And I was working there. And so my sister said it was so nice up here and everything. And so I decided that I would come. I come up in June of 26.
June of 26.
26 or 27. I think it was 27. And I stayed I had my daughter. I was a widow. And I had my young daughter with me, which I brought with me. And we come to Seattle on the train, and from then we got on the boat and come up to Seward.
Now, when you got the letter that said, come up, Lena, you thought Lila was in Seward, right?
I got on the train and come on to Fairbanks.
Now, how did you know to come up to Fairbanks when you were
I knew she was there. She had wrote and told me where she'd be at. And if she wasn't there, then she would be in Fairbanks. So I come on up to Fairbanks.
What did you think when you got off the train?
Well, if I'd had the money, I'd have went back. I thought this was an awful place.
Why?
The jumping off place. But anyhow,
what did it look like? What did you not like about it?
Well, there was only just about three streets and a lot of mud holes.
Oh.
We had board sidewalks here.
That's all there was?
Yeah.
Here in Fairbanks?
Yeah, in Fairbanks.
Oh, my.
And so, well, then we went on to Delta.
Lena, we're going to take a break in just a moment for our commercial sponsors, but tell me what you were wearing when you got off the train. What would a young lady from Jacksonville, Florida be wearing?
I had on a coat suit, and I had a coat suit on, and I wore dresses. I never wore pants till I come to Alaska.
We'll be right back.
Alaskans have always been famous for their hospitality. The same wonderful hospitality you still find at the Two Rivers Lodge, where Don and Stasha Troutman offer the best menu and interior, a comfortable, quiet atmosphere, and that famous Alaskan welcome to the people who are today's history makers. If you've been meaning to try one of the most talked-about dining experiences in the Alaskan interior, don't wait any longer. Go out tonight to the Two Rivers Lodge, 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road.
Improper foundation alignment can cause serious problems with an entire structure. Problems that may disturb or even totally disrupt normal functioning of that structure. Thus, chiropractic endorses the importance of spinal integrity combined with a personal commitment to physical fitness to help each individual achieve their maximum potential for good health and proper bodily functioning. For information on how chiropractic can help you, see Dr. Carol Davis of the Denali Chiropractic Clinic, 3525 College Road, phone 479-0485.
Meet a Pioneer is sponsored in part by the Forget-Not Gift Shop. Sam and Jane McConkie believe beautiful things are timeless, and everything you find at the Forget-Me-Not shop is beautiful. Fine linen, silver, crystal, decorator items for your home or office, and that little something for special friends. Forget-Me-Not adds a feeling of luxury to even the most practical items. So, for beautiful things for years to come, for your friends, your home, or for yourself, remember the Forget-Me-Not Gift Shop, open 10 to 6, 6 days a week in Northgate Square.
Good morning, I'm Gail Malloy, and we're meeting pioneers Lila Mae King and Lena Phipps. Now back to our story. Well, Lena, you said you had just, that it wasn't until you came to Alaska that you wore your first pair of pants. Tell me about that. What was that, what did it feel like, and where in the world did you get them?
I just felt I wasn't dressed. It was so tight around me and everything, and I wasn't used to it.
Where did you get your first pair of pants?
I got them here in Fairbanks.
What, probably at the NC Company?
Yeah, the NC Company.
Did they have a department for women's pants, or did you buy men's?
Well, I had both. Yeah, I did, to see which one fitted me the best.
Well, okay, you were met by Lila Mae.
And my nephew.
And, right, and her son, yeah, and husband. Mm-hmm. And what did they meet you in? What transportation did they have to take you out to the boonies?
Out to a car.
What kind of car was it? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know what you would call them. They had rumble seats in them, and some people called them the mother-in-law seats, so I don't know.
Lila, what was it like seeing your sister after so long and you being kind of without family except for your son up here for so long?
Well, I had been looking forward to her, and I had also sent a letter to her telling her what the proper clothes to bring, and so that she would be warm when she got here and ever have plenty of warm clothes. Well, she never received that letter. A year and a half afterwards, why, one day here comes this letter, and it had been in a mail sack and laying for a year and a half before it got to the right ones. So we were happy to see it, because then I knew she didn't have clothes like she should.
That explained it, huh? Well, what did women wear then? What did you wear every day?
You could wear a dress around the house, but when you went out in the woods or walking somewhere that you didn't have trails or you didn't have roads, and so we would just take and put on some slacks. Or they were men's pants at that time that I had, and so we got used to them. You didn't get your legs scratched up like you would if you had a dress on and nylons or something.
Well, those first years when you came up, Lena, you all lived out of town up at Central in Good Pasture, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was you and your daughter and you and your son and your husband. And your husband was a miner and trapper.
He was a miner and trapper.
Well, what kind of house did you live in? What was daily life like?
Oh, we built a house, and we all had fun building it. And everybody gave advice, you know, but they knew what they were doing because they could handle axes, him and his brother, quite well. They were just like knives to them when working on a house, a log house. So we got our log house up before winter, and we lived in that. And they had a cabin there that my brother-in-law lived in, they had lived in, but it wasn't large enough for all of us, so we got a brand new house up.
Lena, how did you feel about this kind of wilderness life?
Well,
I felt
lost at the time, but I got used to it. We had beautiful gardens up there and done a lot of canning and picking berries, and we had chickens and everything, and we had fresh eggs all the time.
Huh.
And that was something they didn't get. A lot of people in Alaska didn't get was fresh eggs.
Gee whiz.
And so we enjoyed that, and we done a lot of canning and drying fruit and picking berries and making jello, you know.
How did you do your laundry?
Well, just like anybody else, with a washboard.
Like it? Gee whiz, you mean just like you've seen the pictures of with the washboard?
Yeah, and you didn't let them get so dirty, neither. So it wouldn't be long scrubbing on them.
How often did you have to do laundry?
Once a week.
Oh, my.
Excuse me.
Gee whiz. Well, what about, you had two children, each of you, two between you that were just about school age. What about school out there?
Well, I come in town. I come back to Fairbanks. And I put my daughter in school, and I worked for Roy Lund and his wife, stayed at their house 2 years.
What did you do for them?
Well, I done the cooking and kept the house straight, clean and everything, done the laundry.
Roy Lund?
Yeah.
And his
he was a trader. A freighter to Big Delta. That's how I met them. And I stayed with them 2 years, and then I sent my daughter out to school to three of our friends, school teachers in Seattle, and they were teaching there, and their home was in Michigan. So they moved back to Michigan, and my daughter went with them, and there's where she entered. She went to college, and when she got out of college, she went in training as a nurse, and when she graduated as a nurse, she went in service, and she was there 4 years in service. So I went out every 2 years to see her, and then I come back to Fairbanks, and I stayed.
You must have missed her.
I did miss her, but she had to have an education.
And you wanted, you felt you could get a good one, the kind you wanted for her.
Yeah.
Advanced education.
Yeah,
outside.
She'd have to go at that, and so she got her education.
I see. Well, what about your son, Lila May?
Well,
how did he get schooling?
I had the Talbot course for him, and we were teaching him and at school there every day. At that time, we were under territory. And territory, if you had eight or nine children, they would furnish a school for you and a teacher, too. But we, fortunately, didn't have that many. Unfortunately, I don't know which. But we got the lessons from the Calvert School, and when I was doing the teaching, and my husband was helping, too. So, and the parrot was helping. I had a parrot at that time, and he was helping very much, too. And my son, he was going along and reading, and he was sing-songing it, not reading it. And so I hit him on his knee, and when I hit him, the parrot was sitting on my shoulder. He bit me on the cheek because I was had hit my son.
Oh, my, you had a parrot way back up in Central.
Yeah. I got the parrot when we lived in Seward, and he couldn't talk at all. He was just full of little pin feathers. He came from Denver. And I used to give him lessons every evening and put him in his cage and then just leave it open just a little bit, and I would repeat the same sentence over.
Were you pretty diligent about the correspondence studies with your son every day?
Oh, yes. And then when he went on the trap line with his father there, he wasn't giving his lessons before he went to bed. He wanted to go, so he says, you have to study it every night then.
Oh, my word.
And so it was really interesting, and we were in the summertime, and anyone come down the river, then they'd stop at our place. As everybody did.
Well, did you have neighbors
No, 20 miles was the closest neighbor we had. But I had the transmitter there. I did give the weather. And so that kept us in touch with, I had three schedules to start out with.
Well,
and
this is on this on the wireless radio.
Yeah.
And you, okay, go ahead.
And we had three schedules to start out with, I did. And I had a transmitter, and it kept, it's something like your CBs now. and only it, we had regular times to go on the air at night, and we'd go on there and take out the message or anything and send it in the Fairbanks. And also, I took all kind of messages for the ACS, that was the communications, and they'd tell me what to charge for the messages that I took over the air, and I would repeat a lot of them and send them on, that where the, some of the transmitters didn't get reach Fairbanks.
Huh, so three times a day you would give what the weather was like up where you were in Central Good Pasture, and people back here in Fairbanks would receive this.
Yeah.
Oh my, I didn't realize.
I come in and studied the weather under the Weather Bureau.
Huh.
Mr. Thompson was in charge at that time, and so I learned about the weather quite a bit, and every once in a while we'd have a refresher course. They'd change some of the things where it used to be a drizzle. Why, it would probably be a mist.
I understand. Well, this was volunteer, I imagine.
Yeah, yes, it was, but they finally, after my husband died, they finally gave me a raise so that I could have some money coming in.
How much? What was the raise?
$2.
How often?
Well, for $2. At first it was $2 a day, and then they gave me more later on.
Huh.
But I had to come in and take examinations at the Weather Bureau.
Well, how often did you drive into Fairbanks for groceries and things?
Oh, we didn't drive but once a year into Fairbanks at that time. And we had a cabin at Big Delta, but we would come down and order our supplies and then take and go back up. Sometimes they'd come by from Seward, and then again they would come from Scordon to Valdez or someplace.
Lena, when you got here from Jacksonville, Florida, and came up here, did you find any significant difference in the type of food or diet here? Were there certain things that they didn't have here that you missed from the outside?
Yes, I did. Yes, but if you come into town, you could get all. You could get it. It was high, but nevertheless, it was. I used to have orange juice all the time.
Oh, really? So back then?
Yes, I was in Florida.
Oh, in Florida.
Yeah, I was, and I had all kinds of fruit down there in Florida, it was really. It was really nice, and I enjoyed it, and I got where I liked it. And I'd go out for visits, and I was anxious to get back.
Well, you stayed with your sister for a while, and you moved to Fairbanks?
Yeah, and then when I sent my daughter out, I stayed in Fairbanks, and I worked to the Northern Hotel until it burnt down.
And what did you do there?
I was a housekeeper, and I stayed and was on the desk part of the day, and the rest of the day I was spent on being the housekeeper, giving laundry out, you know, for the girls to put on the beds and everything. And then when that burnt down, then I went on the highway, Northway, and I worked at a trading post for Herman Kessler, and I was there, I stayed there, and then I come back and went to the Pine, and worked at the Pioneer Hotel.
Huh.
And that was the, and I worked at the Pioneer Hotel, and I stayed there until I got married. I got married in 52, I married Oscar Phipps.
Huh. Okay, we're going to take a break right here. We'll be back in just a half a minute. This word from one of our sponsors. Alaska is still a land of pioneers, like the Binkley family, who for...
That's also one of the reasons we're proud to be a sponsor of Meet a Pioneer. This program gives us all a chance to find out more about the fascinating history of this special place we call Alaska, and we look forward to each week's program. We're looking forward to seeing you again next summer aboard the Riverboat Discovery.
Thank you. Lena, can I back up just a little bit? You made mention of the Northern Hotel that burned, you said?
Yes.
Well, last year I had a program called Old Time Radio, and I found an old disc, an old KFAR recording of KFAR covering that fire live on the scene, with their microphones, and we listened to that, and you're the first person I have met that was there or was around during that fire.
Well, I was there when the hotel was burning.
What was it like? Were you around at the time when they saw the smoke?
Well, the only thing that just got, I had got myself a brand new fur coat, and I was hunting for that. I'd wore it in that morning, and so I got my coat out, it was terrible. It started on the corner. There was a great big pipe there, and it come through that and then started at the northern. And there was no way nobody could save it.
Where was it located?
On Front Street. On Front Street there,
right along the river.
Yeah, on the river. Yeah. Oh, yes, it was facing the river, yeah.
Huh.
And Margaret Austin owned it, and she was in Texas at the time.
Gee, well, that's where you work. Well, then you were out of a job then after it
went down? Yeah, I was out of a job, but I got married in 52. I married Oscar Phipps.
Now, the Northern Hotel burned down about 46 or something around there?
Yeah, 46, yeah.
Well, let me ask you real quick before we get into your, when you got married. But so up until your marriage, you were still a working single woman, Fairbanks.
Yeah.
What was it like, and what was the men prospects? Were there lots of fellas?
Well,
what was the ratio?
There was a lot of men and a lot of nice ones, too.
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Did you date?
Oh, certainly.
What did you do on dates?
Well, you go to shows, go out to dinner, and they go to dances and everything.
Where'd you go to dinner, and what, do you remember any of the movies and where you saw them?
Well, go out to dinner to the Model, which was a very popular restaurant at that time.
Now, isn't that building still there where the Model Cafe?
Yeah.
Where is that?
And that's on 2nd.
And it ran to 1st.
It was from 2nd to 1st.
Yeah,
what's there now?
Well, there's some kind of a restaurant there now, I think. Economy?
Yeah. There's some kind of a restaurant, I think, there now.
I can't place it, but I know.
I'm not sure.
Where the Economy was. That's.
Huh. I'm just wondering if it's not in the area where they took down some of that. But in any case, and the theater wasn't far from that. The Empress?
Yeah.
And then the...
Yeah, and we had two show houses here.
What was the other one?
That one was the Empress and...
The other one was...
Lacey Street.
Lathrop. And that was... they were right across the street. You go in one and see that, and then you go right across the street and see the other.
Well, what kind of dances were there that you got invited to?
The square dances, and every kind of dance you want to do, they could dance. We had good dancers here.
Huh. Now, you told me a little story about how you got from... Both of you told me this, either one that wants to tell it, how you got from home to the dance and the way it worked for a woman going out for the evening.
Well, you'd go in the car.
And there wasn't any cars to speak of.
There
only
a few people had cars. Share the microphone there.
Only a few people had cars at that time. And some even went on dog sleds. They would take their evening dress or what they were going to have, if they were going to dance or go to lodge, they would take that on and put it on when they get to the lodge and take off their slacks and anything they had they didn't want on. But it was very informal, and there's roadhouses that had dances too, and they would have a lot of them running for different things, and to... they sold tickets a lot of times for the children in different lodges that put on programs out at some of the roadhouses. There was a roadhouse about 120 miles out, then there was another one that was about 4 miles out. So they did have a lot of places to go dancing and everything.
So there was really lots to do then. Lena, how did you happen to meet Oscar and get married?
Well, I was working at the Northern Hotel when I met him.
And what did he do?
He worked for the FE company, which is United States Smelting and Refining. He was powerhouse engineer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And when we got married, we lived on 3rd Street. And then he retired. And then we go out every 2 years outside. And I went out to visit my daughter, which is married now, and I have 4 granddaughters, and I have 2 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my.
And and then we come back to Alaska.
Well, this house on 3rd, did you and your husband build it?
No.
You bought it?
Yes.
Do you remember how much it cost, by any chance?
I think it was $2,500.
And it's still there now?
Yes, some of it is still there.
Huh. Well, after you married in 1952...
Well, I didn't work no more.
That was it.
That was it. All I done was I cooked and kept house and done a lot of going.
A lot of going
places, you know. And then when my husband got sick, we had the flood, and my husband was sick then.
In 1967.
And so when the flood, we lost our house. And so just the back end of it went down. And so we didn't live there no more. And then we went out, they picked us up, the boat, and we went to the college. And I couldn't get to my sister's house because there wasn't any way of getting there, but Wade. So we went in the boat, and they taken us to college. And from college, we went out there, and it was raining. And Mac Dalton, Jim Dalton's wife, come in there and saw me, and she asked me what I was doing there. I says, "This is where they brought us." And she says, "Oscar looks terrible." She says, "Won't you?" Says, "I'll tell you what I'll do." Says, "My house is dry." And so she says, "I'll drive the car just as close to you as I can," and says, "Then we'll get him in and take you to my house." Well, I stayed, she taken us out to her house, and we stayed there 2 weeks. And then we come back in town and stayed a couple of days with my sister, and then we got on the plane and went to Portland, Oregon. I wanted to see if there was anything I could be done for him. And so we stayed out there the winter, and so the doctors couldn't do anything for him there, and he told me he wanted to come home. And I says, "Well, home we'll go." And the doctor says, "You won't make it." I says, "Well, I'm going to try." So he lived longer than the doctors. He come back where he wanted to be. And he come back, and he lived 3 months. And we rented a place from my sister, and that's where, he passed away the last month he was in the hospital, the old hospital across the river.
That was the last day it was in that hospital was used, is that right?
Yeah, that day my husband passed away, that day.
Huh. We'll be back in just a moment.
Meet a Pioneer is sponsored in part by Interior Signs, long established as one of the interior's most professional, most dependable year-round sign makers. They're licensed, insured, and always ready to serve Fairbanks with signs of every kind. Signs for business, contracting, or creative design. So for signs that stand the test of time, call Interior Signs at 479-3859. That's 479-3859. Interior Signs at 2405 South Cushman.
When Roy Larson started Larson's Jewelers on that day back in 1946, he had big dreams of what he'd like his business to become.
May.
Oh,
Over the years, some of those dreams changed and others came true. Today, Larson's is still a family-owned business and one of the finest and most complete jewelry stores in the interior. Almost 40 years of skill and experience go into everything they do. Like Fairbanks, they've grown, but they're still your friend and neighbor. Larson's, fine jeweler since 1946 at 405 Noble.
He is waiting for you.
Today's Alaskans are demanding more. More style, more options, more flexibility, and more for their money. And they're finally getting it from Sophie's Station, Fairbanks' newest, most attractive contemporary living complex. Sophie's Station is a prestigious addition to our community, designed for optimum quality, comfort, and convenience. For adult living at its best, see the new one- and two-bedroom units, now available at Sophie's Station.
Welcome back. I'm Gail Malloy. We're meeting with Pioneers Lila Mae King and Lena Phipps. Lena, I'm going to take us up to 1973. What was special about that year for you?
Well, I was made Queen of the Pioneers.
Oh.
At that time. And Jack Link was the king.
That's Alaska's husband.
Alaska's husband.
What was it like being the Queen of the Pioneers?
Well, it was really nice. They sent us to Anchorage, too, and they rolled out the red carpet for us to walk on.
Oh, my.
And it was real nice.
And you had a crown, tiara?
Yeah, I had the crown, and I had the robe.
Huh.
A robe that was made of velvet. Velvet outside and red velvet on the inside, and it was very heavy. I was glad when to get out of it. It was so heavy. And I've been in Fairbanks ever since, and I continue to live here.
Lila Mae, now at some point you did leave the Central Good Pasture area and came back to Fairbanks. Kind of tell us about how that all transpired and where you lived and what you did.
Well, I came back to Fairbanks and stayed here. I worked for Pan American all during the war as a weather observer. And so then after the war, of course, I was married to Mr. King then, Al King.
Now, you had lost your husband, Walter.
Yes, I'd lost him.
He had a heart attack?
He had a heart attack up on the Good Pasture Trail. And
you and he and your son?
My son had already gone into service for 12 days at the time his father died.
What happened? What was that like? You were alone out there.
Well, I had the transmitter, and I called at the Fairbanks into our friends, Johnny Butterbitch. And then the ACS answered my call, too, when I was asking for help. And then the marshal and them come up in a few days. We had a three-day snow fall, and it just snowed and snowed and snowed, but they come the third day up there and pick me up and my son, not my son, my fish and everything, and a friend kept the little dogs and things like that I had. So I come to Fairbanks, and I didn't get back up there for a long time.
Now, your husband had a heart attack there.
Yeah.
And passed away, and it wasn't until 3 days later that somebody
came. Well, he was up about three miles up on the hill there, he had went up there. It was a lovely day, the 19th of June, and the sun was just peeking over the mountains, and it looked so pretty. So I think he lingered up there when he was picking up samples of rocks. We had hard rock, and they wanted some samples, and so he went up to get the samples to send out to this engineer that had been up there. And he didn't come back. And I could just, we had a glacier to cross going up the hill, and I could just visure him when he didn't come home. That was my day to bake, so I stayed home and baked. Otherwise, I would have went with him. But when he didn't come, I went up the trail. He had a little dog with him, and so I come with my snowshoes on and a bug in my hand, and the little dog could hear me, and he kept barking at me, and he was trying to get me away. He didn't know who I was. So anyway, I did get up there, and so I found that he was dead, And so he had just fallen. His snowshoes were still on. And his leg was bent and he just fell forward.
Oh.
And when they come up to investigate, the marshals and him come up, and they backtracked a bit and they could see where he had stood and had a cigarette and smoked it, and that was all. And then he walked down and he just fell. He didn't, there was no snow disturbed around him or anything. So then I started calling on my transmitter to Fairbanks here. And so Mr. Budovich came up with the marshal, and so they insisted me coming on in. And so which we did, and there was a friend up there. He had just arrived there the day before. And so he looked after things up there. And I left my fish up there, too. I didn't bring them in that time. So I came into Fairbanks, and so I stayed in the Fairbanks and went to work for Pan American.
Did you live in, how long have you lived in your home over on 11th?
On 11th Street? I've lived there since 42.
So about the time you came into town then?
Yeah, about the time, yeah.
And what have you been doing all these years since? Keeping busy. What have you been doing and involved with all this time?
Oh, just a little of everything. My husband, of course, he's in communication, he was, and so he was working for on the slope for all the, he worked for the three different companies, Puget Sound and Drake and Green and contractors, all of them, and he was communication there. We were working up at Point Bear when President Eisenhower come, and he was there.
At Point Bill?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did you meet him?
Yes, I did. I met him because I was in communication after dinner. When we had lunch, I stopped at my husband's place. And, of course, his building was not scheduled for stopping at, but he did stop there. That was one thing he asked. He wanted to see where the communications and who run it and all, how he was fixed up for communication.
Well, this is fascinating. Here's a broadcasting pioneer, too.
Yeah.
You are. That's wonderful.
And so, anyway, I enjoyed working with things like that, and so I enjoyed my stay up there, and I've enjoyed being a pioneer, and I think Alaska's been very good to me. I don't think I'd be as happy any other place but here.
You both of you certainly are pioneers of Alaska,
yeah.
Women who've had some fascinating experiences. What does it feel like? What is a pioneer? What do you?
Well, a pioneer's one that's really pioneered out and lived in cabins and things. They call it, we call it, we think that we really pioneered because we didn't have the electric lights, we didn't have the facilities for the toilets and things like that. We had that outdoors, and our water system was, we had a spring up in the Good Pasture where we were at, so it was open all winter long, so we used that water up there. And we did have a washing machine. It was an old type, one that you did with your hands, not no electricity or nothing. At Grunler there at the station. So we washed clothes there, and up there I used the washboard and everything else. But we packed our water and things like that. I had about 200 chickens up there when I was there. And I had a little brown hen, and then I set my other chickens. And we packed up on our honeymoon, my husband and niece and son and I, we packed chickens on our back. Our boat got stuck in the ice. So we got the boat out, and then we walked and had a one-runner sled, and that was quite a honeymoon. We stopped and spent the night in a little place that was called the Meat House. And but we stayed there, and as soon as it got light, we traveled on with all of our chickens. And so we just really had a good time, and the kids, they added to it. And we missed them when they went away to go to school, my niece and everything.
Oh, my. Thank you, Lila Mae. Lena, you wouldn't have become an Alaskan pioneer woman if you hadn't received that letter from your sister. What does it feel like to be a pioneer?
Well, it feels good to be a pioneer. I'm very proud to be a pioneer. and I really enjoyed it. I joined the Pioneers, my husband and I did, the same night we joined the Pioneers, which he could have joined a long time ago because he come to the country in 1910.
Oh,
my husband did. But I could have been a pioneer. I joined the same night he did. I could have joined on my own, but I joined under him.
Well, on behalf of all of our listeners right now and me and KFAR Radio, it's been a great pleasure to meet you and get to know you, Lila Mae King and Lena Phipps. Thank you for being on the program this morning.
We're happy to have had us, and thank you to our sponsors, too.
Yeah, I'm very happy, and thank you very much.
Special thanks to our sponsors, the Two Rivers Lodge, the Riverboat Discovery, Interior Signs, Denali Chiropractic, the Forget-Me-Not Gift Shop, Sophie Station, and Larson's Jewelers. This has been Meet a Pioneer.
You've been listening to Meet a Pioneer. A taped version of this interview will become a part of the permanent oral history collection of the Alaska and Polar Regions Department at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This program was produced by Gail Malloy.
Come amidst much discussion that whoever is elected next month may have a relatively large number of court appointments to make. It's a discussion highlighted by accusations that President Reagan has set certain conservative tests for his appointments, and right-wing evangelicals think that they will benefit. However, in the speech, Justice Rehnquist adds that attempts to pack the court usually don't work out in practice, that court appointees tend to become more independent once they arrive at the court. Rehnquist is considered among the most conservative members of the court today. In Illinois, the state Supreme Court justices have delivered an important ruling upholding the handgun ban passed by the village of Morton Grove. The ban outlaws the sale and possession of handguns. The National Rifle Association argued against it, saying it violates state authority, but the state Supreme Court said imposing the ban is a constitutional exercise of Morton Grove's police powers. I'll have more after this.
If you're suffering from nasal or sinus congestion, try Duration Nasal Spray. Duration goes to work immediately to relieve congestion, and Duration lasts up to 12 continuous hours. That's because Duration contains oxymetazoline for fast, long-lasting relief. In fact, it's the longest-lasting nasal decongestant you can buy without a prescription. Duration, the nasal spray that works fast. The nasal spray that works up to 12 hours. Duration Nasal Spray. Use only as directed.
I thought new carpeting would cost a fortune until we shopped Sears October Carpet Sale.
Did we hit the jackpot? Plush or sculptured nylon pile carpet is just $11.99 a square yard.
Including cushion and installation.
That's $5 off.
Best of all, 30 square yards.
Enough to carpet our living and dining room.
Cost less than $400.
Cushion and installation included.
Sears has convenient credit plans, too.
The October Carpet Sale.
At most Sears retail stores.
It's more for your life.
On sale through October 20th.
At Sears.
A lot of economists were surprised by today's report on the third quarter GNP. The revised gross national product figures for the summer show the economy moving ahead at a rate of 2.7%, almost a full point lower than estimated earlier. Commerce Secretary Baldridge says the situation is under control.
This moderation in the second year of an expansion is consistent with the historical patterns of occasional slow quarters during an expansion. Nevertheless, this upturn in GNP remains the strongest since the 1951 recovery.
Analysts give us some reasons for the summer lull, including the easing of consumer spending, the high trade deficit, and a fall-off in business investment. There is more political turmoil in Beirut. Muslim and Christian members of the cabinet were unable to agree on holding a proposed special cabinet meeting this weekend to discuss the future, so it won't be held. Also today, and in another demonstration of the weakness of the government coalition, Shiite Muslim leader Nabi Berri, a cabinet member, rejected the Israeli outline for a troop withdrawal from southern Lebanon. At the State Department, spokesman Alan Romberg reports the evacuation of remaining dependents from the Lebanese capital.
We have, in fact, on a temporary basis, removed all of the dependents from Beirut. There's a reorganization, obviously, of embassy operations going on, and there are security enhancement measures being taken.
With regard to security enhancements, the president today signed a bill that provides over $360 million to upgrade security at U.S. embassies. The legislation also provides for rewards of as much as $500,000 for people who provide strong information on terrorism directed against the United States. There may be peace talks of a sort going on between Salvador and President Duarte and the leftist rebels, but the war goes on as well. Less than a week after the Duarte meeting with guerrilla leaders, Salvadoran army troops attacked at least two rebel positions today. No word on casualties. On Wall Street, the Dow's up almost 9 points. This is ABC News.
The fun, all the shows A to Z and the facts. What's behind what you see, TV guy? The whole world of TV. That's entertainment.
What does Sophia Loren see in Daniel Travanti? See for yourself in the TV movie Aurora by Night. And move over, boys. Diane Sawyer's coming to 60 Minutes. It's terrific.
So buy TV Guide and read TV Guide. That's entertainment.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Kate Dorton.
We expect hard work, long hours, no complaints.
Mr. Chairman.
If you want to put the best computer products in office, vote Computerland today.
I second the motion.
That's where you'll find the most up-to-date computer hardware, the most innovative software and accessories for your office. And when it comes to service, Computerland is sure to get your vote.
Yes,
for computers and computer supplies that are sure to get your office into shape, no matter what kind you have, even an oval one.
Computerland now has new lower prices on the IBM PC computer. Come down and meet our friendly staff. Computerland, 711 2nd Avenue.
This is Problem Corner, and I have another guest, I think, coming in here in just a moment or two. But before we do that, let's pause for a message. Good morning.
This is Lana from Prime Cut Ears, darling.
Hello, Lana from Prime Cut.
You know, I enjoy your program so much because I always learn something. Have you noticed that? I always wonder why these things happen, and to be able to sit here and listen to why these things happen, I mean, with your guest that you just had, at least it explains what's happening around us. I find that really important.
I just told Virgil that the first time he's on the air, I wouldn't turn the phones loose on him, but next time he says he'll be glad to answer some phone questions, too.
Well, that's good, because it does give us a chance to get our 2 cents in, too.
Yes.
But, you know, it is kind of neat to be able to learn why these things happen and what's causing them and this kind of thing. So I appreciate that, and I just wanted to tell you because I never get the chance to call you and just say I appreciate these things.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate you folks who sponsor the program, too, Lana.
So, well, good. Well, anyway, Prime Cut Hairstyling is busy at work as usual, and we do have some openings today. It's kind of a funny day. We're open 9 to 9, so there's lots of hours in there to fill up. And so so they can give us a call. And, of course, our perms are coming out just great. We've been having so much fun doing perms on people that, you know, they're trying to make that transition from summer to what am I going to do with my hair for winter. And it's just so much fun to talk to people and explain to them that this is the way you can handle it. And with your lifestyle, we feel that this would work well for you. And then to have them come back and say, oh, you were so right. It just makes us feel good. And so we're there for consultations. We have calls all the time, people saying, what will I do if I do this to my...